Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to this broadcast today. We're so thankful that you have tuned in and hope that you'll stick with us for the next half hour or so, and not only for our broadcast, but Pastor Al coming up after us, and Brother Rusnacko at 2 o'clock, and I'm sure some other great programming throughout the day. But I'm thankful that you are with us today on this beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon, and I trust you're enjoying this beautiful weather out there. But I thank you for listening, and I know boy, I tell you, every day that we live, this just every day is a day closer to the Lord's return, but boy, just gets more perplexing as we go through it. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to remind you that the Lord is on the throne. I want to remind you that all things work together for good, and to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And I know we don't have a lot of leaders and people in authority today encouraging us, strengthening us, helping us. I want to encourage you. The Lord is with us today. And I hope you know that. And I hope you'll look to them, look to him for strength today. And I want to go to Daniel chapter 6 here in just a little bit while you're grabbing your Bible, and we'll go over to Daniel 6. We'll probably bounce around a couple different places today. Let me tell you a little bit about our church. We are the North Coast Baptist Church. We've been in the city of Lakewood now for a little over 15 years, and we're in the process right now of potentially relocating, so we covet your prayers with that. And we were hoping to move out west, and we're still looking to accomplish that. You know, Rocky River, Westlake, Fairview Park, in those areas, and that's where we set out about a year ago to do, and so we're looking to hopefully remain in that area or Lakewood itself. But we just need a new building. We need some other areas. We believe God has some other things in store for us that he wants us to accomplish. And so we need the facilities to be able to do that. And so we're trusting God is going to provide that. So we covet your prayers in that God would lead us and we would know exactly where that place would be. We're still working all the details out with the sale. It is in contract to be sold. So you pray with us about that. We would ask that you do that for us. Put us on your prayer list and pray. We've been doing some extra prayer meetings at the church on Tuesday nights with our church family. And so again, we would just ask that you pray for us. It's an exciting time. I mean, for this to be going on right now, God knew all this when he led us a year ago to put this building up for sale, knew everything that was going to be happening, everything that was going to be going on. And it's kind of a neat area because it's going to take a miracle. And that's what we need. That's how we know the Lord's in it. And so we're just asking the work. But we are located at 2051 Quail Street, just like the bird, Q-U-A-I-L, Quail Street. Again, Lakewood, that's a zip code 44107. And so in the meantime, we are continuing to have our church services there. We're in person. We are meeting on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. We're meeting Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And also, we have a midweek service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And so we would invite you to come on out. Bring your Bibles along. Bring a good spirit about you, to a willingness to learn, a teachable heart. And I'm telling you, God will do some great things in your life. If we had the time, and maybe we'll do this in the future, bring some of our people on the radio to testify the work of grace that God's been doing in their lives. The greatest testimony that I've heard, and it's been a consistent testimony at our church when people testify, is how they fell in love with the Bible at our church. Some of them had, you know, a good walk with the Lord before. Many of them did not. But we just taught them how to love the Word of God, how to live the Word of God. And their lives are radically different. And so, you know, we promise we'll do the same thing with you. If you're struggling, you don't have a church home, maybe your church has forsaken the truth. You know, God can take the candlestick out of a church. And if he does that, I wouldn't stay at that church. I would leave that church. And there's a whole lot of churches all over the city of Cleveland and west side, east side. The candlestick's been long gone. People just stay there for habit, comfort, whatever it is. And man, this is not the time to be comfortable. This is not the time to kind of rest on your laurels until Jesus comes. This is a time when the Christian witness must be at the center of everything going on in our communities. It is imperative that we live as Christians today. And I promise you, you come to our church here, we're going to teach you how to do that. There is a way to do it. And the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in the Word of God. And you'll hear preaching. We believe preeminently in preaching. We believe that there's still a place for preaching. We think it's dangerous to thrust our ministries totally just on teaching. But you know, the Bible says in the last days, people were going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want to hear preachers anymore. But the Bible says that God has chosen preaching to be the means for which people get saved. In fact, I'm turning over there to read the verse for you. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And so maybe you go to a church that they've stopped preaching. Maybe it's all about, you know, we're going to teach you, we're going to educate you. Hey, there's a time for education. You go to church to be edified, to be perfected. But, you know, if you're going to get sharpened, it's going to take some sparks. You got to put that iron to the fire. You got to put that iron and you got to hit it with the hammer, and you've got to put that iron to a file, an axe to a file. You're going to see sparks fly. And that's what preaching does. It cleans us up. It sharpens us up. Oh yeah, it hurts sometimes. Yeah, it's confrontational at times. But that's what the Bible is meant for. Jesus was a preacher first. And the first duty of a preacher is to preach. And it's not about our intellect. It's not about our education. It's about preaching the Word of God. And so we promise you, you'll get that when you come. We had a great preacher in this week. John Ashley and his wife Joanne came in. And what a tremendous ministry. You can check him out, inspiteof.com. Tremendous. If you're a preacher of an independent fundamental Baptist church, I would encourage you, highly encourage you to have the Ashleys in. They are real, sincere, genuine people. They have walked through some fires, and now they're trying to share that, what their experience is. But he preached. I mean, he preached. He taught. But he did it. Boy, I tell you, we were edified. We were encouraged. And so I want to encourage you to have him out. And what a wonderful family they are. You know, in the day and age we live today, one of the things I keep telling my children and telling our church, for instance, I can't believe how cowardice our politicians, our leaders, some of our preachers have been, just cowardice. And, you know, cowardice was something that was looked upon and frowned upon at the founding of this country. In fact, countries, before we were founded, you know, our founders obviously were very wise individuals in the sense that they studied other great republics and those type of things and governments. And, you know, one of the things that they noted that many cultures had a death penalty. It was a capital crime for cowardice. And, of course, desertion, treason, of course, was one. And the fourth one, by the way, was homosexuality. Those were the four that you can read that right in the prelude, the beginning of the 5,000-year leap book. Tells you right in there what those four things were. We've come a long way from that place. But anyway, you know, where are the men of courage today? I've never seen Americans, and first time in my life, that we've ever cowered at an enemy. We don't cower at enemies. We're Americans. Where is the courage? Where are the Christians that are so confident in their eternal security that they are going to go out there and they're going to continue in the Christian life, worshiping God, meeting with their churches, and confident that God is able? Where are they? Where are those courageous people? It seems as though we're just cowering. And I've come to this conclusion. I am not going to cower because somebody else has fear. You know, we hear that phrase, you know, they're cowering in fear. Why am I not going to cower because you have a fear? And if you're a born-again believer, then we ought not to fear what's going on. We don't fear these things. And we should be the first ones on the front line in the battle, being standing for the Lord and saying, you know what, if it takes me, then bless God. There's a purpose in it. There's a reason. I asked our church this last week. I said, what if God allows you to get the coronavirus because he's going to allow your family to get saved by you having the coronavirus? I remember asking the church it was probably a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year. I said, what if we need to become a communist nation, which we're severely heading down that path quickly? What if we need to become a communist nation in order for your friends and family to come to Christ? What if it required you going to jail or you being assaulted and murdered like they're doing in some of these cities now that they're setting up as, you know, almost communes or whatever? What if it took that for the spark of liberty once again to be lit? You know, there's been some politicians I've been so proud of. I'm proud of our president. I'll tell you, we all do the same thing. Well, I love the president, but I don't like what he says. That's who he is. At least he says the things that are important. At least he's an honest man and says the things that are important. And when you listen to him speak, you feel like, man, it's going to be all right. We're going to get over this. We're going to win. We're going to get back. We're not going to allow this thing to conquer us. You listen to our governor here, our governor, and man, you think just sit and wait for death to come. It's coming. And by the way, let me say this. If you've listened to the governor's press conferences, the governor owes this young lady an apology. Governor DeWine, you owe the young lady an apology who you gave some anecdotal story and blaming her for 30 people in a nursing home that now have COVID. You're blaming her. You just put that on her head on public television for the whole nation and the world to hear. You put 30 people on the head of that young lady, and that is reprehensible, and that is irresponsible to do that in the position that you have. I can't imagine that. If that woman was watching, she had to be mortified. To put that blame on her, again, irresponsible, reprehensible. You owe that young lady an apology. You can't prove that. And the idea that we've got people thinking about that if I don't wear a mask or you don't wear a mask, you don't care about me. So if I get COVID, I get to blame you because you didn't wear a mask. That is ludicrous. They are treating us like we are little kindergartners. Oh, let's look at the color chart today and see what color we're going to be. I've heard stories in the public school. They do that in kindergarten. If you get a red card, you don't go out for recess. If you get a green card, you get to go out for recess. He's treating us like kindergartners. Oh, then I get this in an email today. This is great. Oh, this ought to take off real well. This was an email for churches, by the way. Churches now. You can buy wristbands. You can buy wristbands that are going to identify how much you care about people. This is in our churches now. Show everyone you care about their social distancing, about their social distancing preference with these wristbands. So you can get a green wristband, and that means you're excited for high fives and fist bumps. We gotta get those for Brother Al's church. Brother Al's, he's got one on. No, I'm just kidding. He's looking at me. So the green one is excited for high fist bumps and fist bumps, or high fives and fist bumps. Happy. If you get a yellow one, you're gonna be happy to chat, but prefer not to touch. So if you get a yellow wristband, you're wearing a yellow wristband, you're saying, hey, I'm okay to chat, but I prefer not to touch. And of course, if you're wearing a red wristband, you are telling people you are so glad to see, they're so glad to see you from a safe distance. I mean, we are treating people. We are being treated like we're little kindergartners. Now I've asked Brother Al, I waved to him, and I want him to come on in on this because I have a feeling he's got some opinions on this as well. And he's getting all set up here, so we'll give him a moment. But, I mean, this is ludicrous. We have a governor who's, well, this is our color today, and, well, I guess you can go outside and play today because this color. Well, no, this color is not good. So it's pretty bad. Brother Al, thanks for jumping in. I know it was kind of a impromptu thing, but, I mean, this is crazy.
Well, thank you, Brother John. And actually, I had to come in here because it's been reported to our office that you have not been a good boy. You've been kicking sand in the sandbox too much. And, you know, the Stasi, I mean, the concerned that people have reported you. So we are taking away your green wristband there.
This is, I mean, this
unbelievable.
Is insane.
Unbelievable.
And now, I mean, these things in let me just go out on a limb. I'm not planning on buying these wristbands, but the mindset has been so corrupted. You know, we had a guest preacher in this last weekend. John Ashley was his name, and a tremendous job. He's got a helps ministry and just maybe he preached the word of God. But he said something that was so important and reminded me. You know, it's not about, sometimes we get so focused on the action, right? We got to do the right thing.
Right.
Well, you know what? People get baptized, they're not saved. People carry their Bibles at church. People get off drugs. They're not saved. People do all kinds of things. It's not about the action as so much it is about the reaction, how we react to these things.
Right.
And watching how some of our people are reacting to this is disheartening because you're thinking, man, we're the saved ones. We have eternal security. To me, man, we ought to be on the front lines of this thing saying, yeah, God's going to get us through this. And if I need to get COVID for my family to get saved, well, bless God, bring it on. You know, I mean, I'm you say, well, that's a crazy thought. Is it really? I mean, what are we willing to suffer? Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Well, I was going to say, getting COVID, I mean, you've got less than a percent chance of dying from it. So I would think less than a percent chance of dying from something if it gets your family saved. It seems, you know, I know that's a big risk, less than 1% of the, but yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, you think of the people in the day of the early church that were willing to sacrifice their very life,
yeah,
in order for people to get saved. And today, people are afraid they might get sick.
It's amazing. The book of Acts says there were men who hazarded their lives for the cause of Christ.
Today, it's men that hazard their comfort zone.
That's exactly what it is. And is that not picturesque of what, you know, many of us believe the Laodicean church is indicative of what mm-hmm. the church, in general, churches will look like or resemble before the return of the Lord. And this has magnified that. I mean, to me, you've got, I mean, every day there's another church coming out with something to appease,
yes,
rather than to please God. And we've lost, we're so concerned about pleasing man. You know, and we're not going to have time to get there, but that's why I was going to go into Daniel today. You know, Daniel, I know Daniel oftentimes is used as, look, bless God, he went to his house, he threw those windows open, and man, that's not what he did. He did what he always did.
Never changed.
He never changed. And the key phrase is, as he did aforetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the governor has no jurisdiction over churches.
Right.
None. And for him to, his order implies mandating church members, which we talked about the whole priest thing.
Right.
Mandating behavior within the walls of our churches when he has no jurisdiction over that. And puts fear in our church members to now he's pitting our church members against him and the state versus the church. Because now if the pastor doesn't go along with it and say, oh, well, we're going to mandate social distancing, we're going to mandate masks, well, he doesn't care about us. And to me, I'm amazed at how so many have bought into that lie. It just shows how unanchored we really are from the scriptures. And, you know, courage to me is a byproduct of a consistent walk with God. Sometimes we think it's some emotional adrenaline rush. It's not. Daniel did what he always did, and it ended, he ended up in the lion's den.
I was going to say, too, not only is he trying to cause division between church and state, he's trying to cause division within the church. And in Proverbs, since I just got in here, I don't have my Bible in front of me right now. But
heathen.
it says that one of the things that God hates, and he calls it an abomination, and that's the one that sows discord among the brethren.
Oh, yeah.
And our governor, I mean, I hate to say this, I thought better of him, you know, when he was running for governor,
but I agree.
Our governor is sowing discord among the brethren,
yes, and he is.
Yeah, he has done this. Yeah. In the beginning, when he said, I don't know of any church or any denomination or any religious leader that would condone putting people at risk, he did not shut down churches, but he made every effort to subtly sow discord among churches and amongst the people in the churches. And there are churches today right now where people are divided.
Yeah.
In the churches, pastors are divided against each other.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is thanks to people like Governor DeWine. God says he hates that.
Yeah, and it just shows that we're listening more to governors and legislators than we are to God. And God is, you know, God has not lost control of any of this. And I think it goes back to some of the teaching about some of the tribulational type teaching, that like there's this mindset in people's ideas that, well, we're not going to go through any suffering whatsoever, and that's not indicative of the Bible. I mean, that would be such an anomaly, considering that a lot of the first century saints were killed all through history. What's the book you passed out last week? The Trail of Blood. Right? I mean, we don't get to write the history books because our people die. Because they stand for the word of God, and they stand for truth, and they stand for right. And those are the most courageous people, because the Bible even says that the world was not even worthy of those type of people. And so the idea that we're not going to be called upon to suffer is erroneous. It's not a biblical thought, because yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are you looking for that verse?
Yeah, it was in
Proverbs 6.
That's why I went by it. I was there and I didn't see it.
These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift into running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates it. It's abomination unto him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to stand an account. And so Psalm 2 would tell you, and all of our politicians listening, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And I would encourage the people that have been listening, put your trust in the Lord. Too often we have relied on government. And I think that's part of the problem now. We're wanting government to come in and fix this. At some point, Americans are going to have to take this country back, or we're going to suffer for it. So, Al, thanks for jumping in, Brother Al. And we'll be listening coming up here right after. Stay tuned. Brother Al's coming up next. God bless.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.